Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're alive because we're blessed to stay in this most existential, modern, yet eternal moments in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of mercies. You're now tuned into the frequency of Blog Talk Radio, and we humbly suggest and even assert that we're the heart and frequency. We call ourselves Soul Class. This happens to be Soul Class program presentation 659, Anusim on the Rise, Part 9. Blessed is our Creator. Shalom, peace, and bracha. Blessing upon the entire human family experience with Creator's blessings. Our next broadcast is taking place right now on August 20th, 2017, starting at 6:30 p.m. live from Jerusalem, the Holy Land of Israel, corresponding to 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time from Turtle Island, UKA. USA equals AKA Unified Missiles. Actually, program content will focus on being in discussion with founder and CEO at Ezra La Nusim, Israeli Amute, Yafa Batya will talk about a sizable number of Anusim who recently underwent conversions in Nicaragua under the sponsorship of Koleno. Yafa has what to discuss concerning the feelings of these brave souls and what they have undergone, since she herself has experienced great tribulations with her unique return within the fold of the nation of Israel. Our call-in number is 347-838-8669. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones. And we're listening to Israel Has Got Talent. This is a young boy of 13 years old singing the classic song Barcelona, the longing of the neshama, that was sent out into exile and went to Barcelona and still sings of the joyous, amazing times that were enjoyed by the Jewish communities in Spain, which unfortunately was terminated in a very abrupt and evil and corrupt fashion and violent fashion with the Spanish Inquisition. So, without further ado, let's just bring in Yafa Batya da Costa. Good morning or good afternoon, ma'am.
Hi, Dawn. How's it going over there in Turtle Island?
Well, Turtle Island is still afloat. I mean, we had some tumultuous occurrences last weekend. We prayed for the peace of the government. We prayed for the peace of the people. And I think, Yafa Batya, this program is part of that peace process, not just to stick up our two fingers like some, you know, mungo bean or bean sprout aging hippie, but rather to reveal Hashem's attribute of peace, because Hashem is the source of all peace, and Torah is to bring peace into the world. And I want to share this teaching with from the Ramban. I'm sorry, the Ramban, who is one of our greatest sages, who lived in Barcelona until he had to flee from it with his life after the great disputation at Barcelona, which people can learn more about if they just Google online the great disputation or the disputation at Barcelona. Yafa Batya, I want to put the show under the umbrella of revealing an attribute of Creator, the attribute of Chesed, which can be interpreted as kindness or mercy, upon 2,000 generations of them that love me and keep my commandments. So the Ramban comments as follows. It appears from the sense of the verse that this divine assurance is with respect to the subject matter of commandments that he mentioned. He is thus saying that to those that love him, he will show mercy to their 1,000th generation. These are the ones who sacrifice their lives for him, for they are ones who acknowledge only the glorious name and his godship or lordship and deny all strange gods, refusing to worship them, even if they are in mortal danger. They are called lovers of God. For this is the kind of love that we have been obligated to observe, even at the sacrifice of life, just as he had said, quote, and thou shalt love the eternal your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and all of your might. And that's from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Meaning that you should give your very life because
right,
of your love
right.
of him, and you should not alter him for another god, nor join him together with a strange god. It is for this reason that the prophet said of Abraham, the seed of Abraham, my friend, which is a prophecy from Isaiah 41:8. And since he risked his life in order not to worship the idols in Ur of the Chaldeans, which is the Ramban quotes in Genesis 11:28 on this verse. And finally, the rest of the righteous, those who keep my commandments. So the reason why I want to put the program presentation, and hopefully your guests will come in, well, you'll be interviewing, and I'll sort of provide the Jewish white noise. And by the way, anyone who's listening, I'm going to be running a chat room for the remainder of this hour, that all those Jews that perished in the Spanish Inquisition and all those various Inquisitions, which even extended, you have taught us, Yafabatia, into the South America, their descendants are coming back.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of that mercy, the Sinai covenant. He will show mercy under the thousand generation. It's not even from 1492 to 2017, that's what, 525 years. So we're talking maybe about
525.
Yeah. So we're talking about, I don't know, it depends on the calculation. Is it a 20 years of generation? Is it 25? Is it 30? So we're talking at the most 26 generations plus. To maybe 17 generations, and we see those who gave their lives, their descendants are coming back. I'd like you to, if you want to spice up the conversation, to add to it or bring some new insight that I was not aware of on this matter.
Well, before you go, Don, tell people how they can get into the chat room and ask a question that you can then let us know what people's questions are.
Okay. In order for people to go to the chat room, they would have to be tuned into the Blog Talk Radio website that I sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they'd have to connect onto the internet. I sound like I'm from Brooklyn. The internet, and from there, they would type in Don Zuzia Goodman, which is basically Donzusya, and then Goodman. That is Goodman.
Right.
And if they're listening through the internet, then they can interact with me. And I'm going to go back. I just went to see what's going on here on my face page. Let's just see here that it's there. I'm on the air. Anyway, those who are connected to the internet will be able to connect. I don't see it yet, but let me just make sure. Yeah, it actually, when I clicked on the option for the chat room, it's still loading up. So it's not officially up yet, but when it comes on, I'll just mention to everyone. Now, you mentioned you'll have some guests calling in. Now, I can only tell you the first, if these are your guests, are there other people calling in? One area code is 646 and the other one is 404. Would that be recognizable to you as two of the guests that would be calling in?
Well, we have two guests, so I'm sure one is one guest and one is the other. We'll figure it out. No worries. We can bring them both on at the same time when we're ready to do that. Okay, Don? We can open up both lines when we're ready to bring on the guests. And I just want to mention a couple of things briefly before we get started. First of all, to thank you again so very much for this broadcast that we've been doing now. This is the ninth
mm-hmm.
program. And I want to thank our guests before even they come on. Hopefully they're listening in the background. They're on hold. It's really exciting to do this show and to talk about what's going on out in the world, especially in South America right now. But before we get into the story about Nicaragua, I want to mention briefly for our listeners, and we've got, again, people listening from 35 countries around the world, that we are also going to have a special program focused on Brazil, because Rabbi Amsalem from Israel brought a Beit Din and a Torah scroll to Brazil, this month of August. That video is on YouTube, and I sent you that, Don, so you can put it on your broadcast show, you know, the link there. And it was just an incredible video about Brazil, right? And I wanted to, I'm going to be asking our guests how it felt for them in Nicaragua. But before we get into that, I just want to say that this video is difficult to watch. And it was very moving and very emotional for me. So I'm going to explain what happened to me because I'm going to ask my guests, our guests, what how it was for them in Nicaragua. I couldn't watch it in the beginning. It was so emotional. And I'm not a crier. I'm not a woman who takes to crying very easily. But I did. I couldn't stop crying. I couldn't watch. My husband came in, and I was trying to talk to him and explain to him what was going on. And I just couldn't stop crying. Now, in the beginning, I thought it was just joy. It was just such joy to see these people and what the rabbis were doing with them finally, you know, after so long. But later, I thought about it. A few days later, I thought about it, and I realized that, yes, on one level, it was joy. But on a very deeper, much deeper level, it was pain. And the pain is because all of what our ancestors suffered over those over 500 years, and what the Anishim are still suffering today in terms of all the rejection and everything that's going on, which we've talked about in previous shows, you know, what goes on. And the fact that for these particular people in Brazil and also Nicaragua, and our guests will talk about that, the pain is now over because of what the of what the Beit Din did there. And so it was both joy and great pain because of what all our people have suffered. But hopefully more and more that suffering is going to go away as we help more and more of the people of the B'nai Anishim as we go along, you know, on this journey and in this work. So, Don, can we bring our guests on?
Sure, let's go do that. And caller, are you one of Yaakov Batya's guests?
Yes. This is Bonnie Sussman.
Oh, it must be Bonita.
It's Bonita, yes. So I'm glad you can hear me.
Bonita.
I'm glad this is working.
Oh, good.
Hi,
now, Don,
can you hear me?
Bring in our other guest just so we can say hello? Yes,
yes
we can hear you.
Let
good.
Just,
Don, can you bring, open up the other line?
Yes. Caller, are you one of Yaakov Batya's other guests on today's program?
Yes, this is Rabbi Mark Kunis.
Shalom Aleichem, Rav.
Oh, Rabbi Mark Kunis, thank you so much for, to both of you for joining us. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to have Kulanu, represented by Bonita Sussman, talk first. And she's got some things she's going to talk about and give an introduction or whatever. And then we're going to have you, Rabbi Kunis, to represent the Beit Din, who went to Nicaragua in July last month. And we've got a whole bunch of stuff for you to talk about. So, Bonita, why don't you give us an introduction? Who is Kulanu?
Okay, first I want to thank you, Yaffa, for inviting me on this program and for all the wonderful work you have done through the years to help Anusim, B'nai Anusim. And I'd like to thank Don Zusha for hosting such a wonderful program. Kulanu was Kulanu, meaning all of us, was founded about 30 years ago to help returning, emerging, and isolated Jewish communities around the world. Isolated communities are communities that once had Jewish populations, were founded years ago, like Suriname, and which was founded over 300 years ago, and Nicaragua, which was founded at the turn of the 1900s. Those are isolated communities that are not connected to mainstream or larger communities. Emerging communities are communities that claimed Christianity, and for whatever reason, they have dropped Christianity or some other faith and have turned to Judaism and are practicing Judaism as a way of life. The last group are returning, and that's where Anusim come in. There are two types of groups in the returning category. those who claim descendancy of lost tribes found in Africa, India, and elsewhere, and B'nai Anusim, communities of Jews all around the world that claim descendancy from conversos and are interested in practicing the faith of their forefathers. We are
right,
not a
right,
missionary
exactly.
group.
How long?
We are not a missionary
okay.
group. We wait for communities to contact us. We do not go looking for them.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And how long has Kulana been involved with the B'nai Anusim?
Pretty much from the beginning. Kulanu was originally the American Friends of Amisha, and which was a group founded by Rabbi Avichayil to look for lost tribes around the world. We became Kulanu around 30 years ago, and we took on all types of Jews, not only lost tribes. We are multi-denominational. We have people from all different denominations mm-hmm. in Judaism working with us. We've been involved with Anusim since pretty much the beginning, and I sent out some emails this morning to find out exactly when. I got one from Jack Zeller, who was one of the founders, who is a friend of Yafa's, and he said Yafa's been involved from the beginning. There were several others. We have always had a board member that represented the Anusim community. We have a page on our website dedicated to Anusim with resources that was recently updated, and we have lists of articles about Anusim. The first article that I noticed in our newsletter or magazine was dated 1994 on Anusim. So all along we've had a connection with B'nai Anusim, and we've tried to help in whatever big and small ways that we can.
Right, exactly. I remember I was a coordinator for the Anusim for Kulanu for a couple of years, and when I was doing that, we worked with a community in Miami at that time. I remember that very well. And so tell me how this thing started with Nicaragua, with Kulanu being involved with Nicaragua.
Okay, about 5 years ago, there is an established, what we would call an isolated community in Nicaragua called Congregación Israelita de Nicaragua. It was founded in the 1900s and lost its population with the Civil War and other things, and had a handful of people left. They managed to, or maybe three handfuls, and then they managed to meet Danielle Schechter, who is on our board at Kulanu, who deals with Anusim communities and other communities that are interested in South America. And he met with Danielle, and he told Danielle, we need conversion. So my husband, Rabbi Gerald Sussman, and myself went to Nicaragua about 4 years ago, and we met with members of SIN. We, over time, to make a long story short, did 28 conversions. We had 12 marriages, and now Jewish babies are being born in that community for the first time. Through that connection, we met with some Anusim that had been practicing and wanting to return and felt they were ready for conversions. And that led to our last piece a few weeks ago in Nicaragua, in Managua.
Right. And I think it's fabulous, and it has to be, it can only be Hashem, that the leader of that subgroup in Nicaragua, because there were two groups, is not only connected to Kulanu, but is connected to Israel Anusim. He's connected to both. I think it's fascinating. Moshe, I'm talking about, Dr. Omar.
Yes. So we became We got in contact with Omar. I met him personally about 2.5-3 years ago, which led to the conversion. There were 114 conversions in Managua a few weeks ago. He built, Dr. Moshe built an unbelievably beautiful mikveh attached to his home. He held services in a room that's also attached to his home. And we began the process of bringing down a Beit Din with 3 Orthodox rabbis.
Right.
The 3 Orthodox
and
rabbis.
How many men, how many women, how many children, how many marriages? Can you give me the statistics?
Well, right now I don't have the amount of men and women. It was about 50-50. There were groups of families. There were at least 25 children, which was very, very interesting. There were lots of children coming in and out. The process was that they met with the Beit Din. If they were a family, they met with the Beit Din. If they were young children, they all had Brit Milah or Hatafat Dam Brit, and then they were individually, in a very sneistic way, in a very modest way, dunked in this private mikvah. I would say there were,
right.
What was unique, there are many unique stories from this. There were 17 Brit circumcisions, 10 adult men and 7 children. Some were walking around sore from the process. So that kind of misirut nefesh that families brought their young boys, they were not babies. These were children, and adult men
right.
had that kind of love of God and love of Hashem to want to undergo circumcision at an adult age to be part of the Jewish people. That, to me, was very, very overwhelming. There was also one woman
right.
who was dying, and she went to. She said, "Please, I want to die as a Jew. Please convert me." And, I mean, that's just incredible. There were also 2 pregnant, obviously
right.
pregnant women in the group. So I want to say there were 116 converts, but, you know, there were 114 in reality. And there may have been other pregnant women that we were not aware of. It's basically a very young
and
group.
And how many remarriages under the chuppah?
Okay, so there were 24 marriages under the chuppah.
Wow.
Of course, when a couple converts, of course, they need chuppah and kiddushin. And we had 24 different marriages from the couples. And what we did at the beginning is we had given, Kulanu had donated a Torah to Moshe's community, the Sephardi Anasim community. And we had him march down the, like a long stairway with the Torah. Then we had some children singing Shalom Aleichem behind him, and then we had the brides march down. There are some videos online about it, and, you know, you become very teary when you see this outpouring of love, of Yiddish, of Judaism, of wanting to become part of the Jewish people, and the struggles and the Mesirut Nefesh levels that they have in order to do this.
Right, exactly. And I saw that video. By the way, that's one of the videos, Don. If you're listening, I know you're multitasking
yes,
over there. But that's one of the videos that I sent to you for you to put up on your site, okay?
I'm just trying to find it.
Bonita,
I'm sorry.
I sent you an email. It's all in an email to you.
Okay, I'm
okay?
looking for it. Okay, please go on. I'm Jewish white noise today.
So... Okay. So, Bonita, what was this whole thing like for you? Talk a little bit more about what it was like for you to be involved and be there and see all of this. I mean, what effect did it have on you?
You become a different kind of Jew when you witness this kind of outpouring of love for Judaism. In America, I mean, I'm a New York Jew, and I went to day schools, and... The American scene is that people are leaving Judaism, you know, except for pockets in the Orthodox community and some other pockets in liberal communities. For the most part, people are leaving religion and Judaism, and the fire there is not there. When you go to a community like in Nicaragua and you see the yearning and the fight to become part of it, you not only appreciate what you have in Judaism and see the fire that's there, you see the love that could, that should be there from everybody, actually, that we don't see elsewhere. I do believe that the future of Judaism will be found in unseen communities and other returning communities that want to become part of the Jewish people. And it's our challenge to find ways to let them back much easier so that they're not waiting 10, 15, 20 years. I know somebody 40 years banging on doors to become part of the Jewish world. And this, because we're not used to this sort of clamoring to come into it, we haven't developed really efficient mechanisms to let them in. And I am very honored and humbled by, I'm just a volunteer, and I'm very humbled and honored to be part of this new trend in Jewish life.
Well, Rosh Hashem, so tell me, does that mean that you think Kulanu will be involved in these types of communities in the future?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I can't. Absolutely. We want to work with Anusim. Look, we're a volunteer. We raise money. We don't have a very large budget, but we do have a budget. You can go online and see what it is. And we're always looking for ways to help Anusim communities, extend our the ability for us to help. You know, go on.
No,
we
I was going to say,
Jews.
You have a new program,
we need
don't
more
you,
Jews.
Of a speaker? That.
Oh, right now in America,
you have
every year.
A new program of a... There must be a delay here. You have a new program of a speaker that's going to go around and give lectures about the banana theme. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. We have an artist that dedicates a part of his, most of his artwork, actually, to Anusim and the experience of being an outsider looking in, and the experience of being an immigrant and wandering from country to country. And he really displays this beautifully, and we have him as our guest speaker around that goes around the United States and Canada. If people are interested in having him speak, that would be wonderful. You could go to the Kulanu website. It's right on the front page. His name is Jonatas. So you can look Jonatas up and Google him, and you could go onto the Kulanu website and see what he talks about if you're interested in having him speak. I'm a firm believer
that we
need... www.kulanu.org.
Okay. Kulanu, KULANU.org.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Before we get into Rabbi Kunis's piece, please, if you have a word of encouragement for the B'nai Anusim that are listening to this program, what would you say to them?
Are you talking
Bonita?
To me or Rabbi Kunis? Oh.
No, I'm sorry.
It's my
last question for you before we get to Rabbi Kunis.
Okay. I would say what you're doing is changing the face of Judaism. You are cutting edge on Jewish identity. You are enlarging the Jewish people, and I would say keep it up. You are fabulous. You are wonderful. We need you. We need you to be part of us. And I want to thank really the long history of trouble and travail that some have gone through to really activate the Jewish spark inside of them.
right.
Yaffa,
exactly.
About the, I just like to comment.
Well,
I just want to make a comment. If I can just intervene. Ma'am, what you were talking about, a different type of Judaism, I think it's actually an older brand because it's basically the service that Abraham and Sarah did when they brought neshamas under the Kanfei Shekhinah, the wings of the divine presence. So it might seem something new, but it's going back all the way back to Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu.
I didn't mean new in terms of new. I meant new energy, like their contributions we really need now. Of course, they're going back to old traditions and old roots. Sorry, I wasn't clear about that.
Okay.
Well, that's okay, because you're doing wonderful work. You and Kulanu, everybody that's involved, not just for the banana team, all the work that Kulanu does. It's very, very important, and it's very great to have you on the show and be connected with Kulanu again after these years that have gone by, and I went my way and other people went their way, but it's great to be reconnected now with my organization and Kulanu together. You know, I think it's fantastic. So thank you for everything you do. I know you're a volunteer, so am I. All the people in Ezra also work and then do the volunteer work, so it's really fabulous stuff. Baruch Hashem, thank God for everything that's going on. And by the way, the energy and the spirit and the commitment and all the words, whatever, for the people in Nicaragua that they're showing is based on all the prayers of our ancestors, because I've seen this all around the world with B'nai Anasim, and it really does relate back to the fact that our ancestors prayed for this and prayed for it hard, that ultimately someday their descendants would be able to do exactly what the people in Nicaragua have just done, people in Brazil this month, and hopefully will help many more. Rabbi Kunis, are you with us?
I'm still here.
Oh, great. Okay, so I have similar questions for you. The first question on my list is, how did you hear about the Nicaragua community, and how did you decide to get involved?
Actually, I received a call from Bonnie's husband, Jerry, who's Rabbi Tussman, who I know for 25 years. And Bonnie asked me if I would be interested in doing something like this. And I said, would I? This is something that touches me very deeply. Saving Jewish souls is what my whole life has been about. The only problem I had was my father was very ill at the time, and I didn't know if I would be able to make it. Turns out he passed away before the trip, and I was able to. They called me back, and I was able to make it. So that's how I found out about it. But I was very excited coming, and it lived up to all my expectations.
Oh, fabulous! Sorry about your loss, by the way.
Thank you.
Can you tell us about the Beit Din? What kind of Beit Din was it, or is it?
Well, the Beit Din of three rabbis who have Orthodox Smicha, and one of whom spoke fluent Spanish, and that was very, very helpful. And we interviewed these people, it was just amazing to see the enthusiasm on their faces. Some of them came and just waited 10 hours for their interview. Some of them with several children, and the children were still well behaved all that time. It was just absolutely amazing. Nothing was going to deter them. I mean, there was one woman who traveled hours to get there, and whose car was attacked by a rock, and she had to go to the hospital and be attended, but she insisted on coming, a bloody scar on her head, because she wouldn't. Her desire to be Jewish was so strong.
Wow. So, what did you expect to find there? What did you actually experience there?
I had no expectations because I had not been there, but other than that, I expected to be inspired by these people, and I was. I'm sure you know the story of Moshe Henriquez. I was reading a book on just last year, Jewish Pirates of the Caribbean, and one of You see, you know about that and how he's a descendant of the famous pirate Moshe Kakohen Hedrinkis from the, I think it was the 17th
yes,
century.
Right.
Well, I
yes,
think if you want to get a handle on this community, you need to understand that 525 years ago, when the Inquisition started, if you remained in Spain, you would be killed unless you converted. And when you convert, and if you tried to get out, they would steal your children. So they were stuck between a rock and a hard place. And if you were caught,
right,
you were caught being Jewish or not lighting a fire on Shabbat or not eating on Yom Kippur, they would torture you. So they were very careful in what they told their children, very secretive. And how this lasted for 520 years, the spark has not dimmed. You would think that it wouldn't last more than a generation or two. But the
mm-hmm.
spark just keeps going and going. People would tell me how their grandmother would light candles on Friday night in the basement, or how they were told by their parents when they were teenagers, we don't go out on Friday nights, or we don't eat certain sections of the cow, or all kinds of Jewish practices. One young man said, when I asked him, when did you become interested in being Jewish? He said, well, my grandfather passed away. My inheritance was this talus that he left me. And I didn't stop till I found out what was this talus. And I wanted to be part of
mm-hmm.
it, like my grandfather. 520 years.
Right.
Still strong. Burned, the desire to be Jewish still burns strong. Very inspiring. I would like to tell you a story of what happened after the wedding, if you'd like to hear.
Yeah, sure.
I was saying Kaddish for my father, and after the wedding was over, I had asked if some would join me in convening a minyan so I could say Kaddish. They had turned off the air conditioning in the wedding hall, so we went outside. There was about 40 people, and we started davening, the Maariv. And I would say a few words, and then they would repeat after me, or they would say Amen. But they did it so loudly. They sang Shema with all their heart, with all their might, with as loud as they could. And it just
right.
struck me. Here are people who have been hiding that they're Jewish for 525 years.
Wow.
On a main
right.
thoroughfare
right.
outside, screaming out loud, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It's time for
now,
them to come
I,
back
I have
to
a question
the Jewish
for
people.
You.
Yes.
I have a question. Did you know about all this history of the Anusim before you went to Nicaragua?
Well, I'm a student of Jewish history, so I understand that, and I've followed somewhat the progress of groups that are trying to bring back lost communities. Certainly the Ethiopian community, Dan and B'nai Menashe in India. So I've kept up with some of that. I didn't really understand the depths of it in Latin America. I knew that there were Anusim even like in New Mexico. I've heard stories about that.
Oh, sure.
Hmm.
Right.
But I haven't heard of
right.
it.
All over the American Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's about 1 to 3 million B'nai Anusim in the American Southwest alone. And that doesn't count
wow.
the people in Florida who came up from, from Cuba. And it doesn't count the people in New York, New Jersey, that area who came from Puerto Rico, whose ancestors originated from the Canary Islands and before that from Spain. So it doesn't count all of those. So I wanted to ask you, knowing all this history, what was it like for you on an emotional, psychological, whatever level to be among these people and to see all of this stuff that you experienced?
It was very emotional. It was. And I have to tell you that the Beth Din worked from 8:30 in the morning till it got dark at night. Without a stop, we would just grab a lunch here and there. And we did it because we knew that if we would just take too long a break, there would be one more person who wouldn't get to become fully Jewish. And it was so important to them, and then because of that, it was so important to us. And their enthusiasm just kept us going.
Can you speak up a little bit? We can't hear you for some reason now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Their enthusiasm just kept the baking going, so we worked tirelessly hour after hour after hour without a break. Because we knew how important
right.
it was.
Right. Would you be involved in these types of communities again?
I would be honored to do it. I really would. And I'm maintaining contact with Dr. Moshe's community and trying to help him by sending Kumashim and Kidurim and Talashim. And raising funds for that here. I think it's important that when we establish communities that we maintain contact with them so they will have some guidance in keeping their communities vibrant.
Right, exactly. So I'll ask you the last question I have. We can talk some more, but I have one more question that I asked Bonita, and I'll ask you the same question. There are people listening to this broadcast from 35, maybe more now, but the last count we had was 35 countries around the world, the majority in Latin America and Brazil, of course. And so what words of encouragement would you offer to these people right now after what you've experienced in Nicaragua?
Hashem has seen fit to help these communities one way or another by sending Kulanu and others to them. Don't lose faith. Don't be discouraged. If you feel the light of Hashem in your hearts, continue along that path. And know that Hashem always has your back.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Don, take it over.
Well, Rabbi, I mean, one of the things that I've frequently discussed with Afibatia is to arouse some sort of deep feeling within the hearts of the Bnei Nusim, which also, you know, we understand that some will go the full route. And they will convert or revert or whatever the term that can be used in this process. But some will not go the full distance and want to just learn about the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach. So my humble advice, based on the teaching of my mentor, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Skusi Yogan Leno, is to encourage the learning of Rambam. Because Rambam, we know, was a great, from Memosha, Moshe, Lokam, Kamosha, that his writings are so geared to waking up human consciousness, whether it's to come back into the fold of Israel or to become a Papa B'nai Noach. I'm just suggesting as part of these experiences is to share with these individuals and families and communities that for the Rambam will the Nesher Gadol will lead them in the way. Of course, there's the Ramban and Donald Arbonnel, who was serving, I think, in the government right before the horrible occurrence of the Spanish Inquisition. I'm just throwing that as humble advice that they will not go wrong. These individuals who have this thirst, longing to connect to Hashem, that the Rambam's teachings will help them along the way. That's all I want to basically contribute. Because I feel, katonti mechol ha-sodom, that I feel so small and humble that I am privy to serve as some sort of molecular assistance in this process to broadcast this positive message into the world right now.
Oh, well, it's really good advice, and I just want to add that all of us, kulanu, to use the term, all of us are, you know, really small pieces of the puzzle of what Hashem is doing today in all of these communities, and we all have that shared feeling of humility and smallness, but together, with all of us together, we are so strong and powerful, and of course with Hashem, who is with us and backing us and supporting us and helping us, that's where the power is when we all work together and do this together. So I think this experience, even though I wasn't there, I don't have to be, and I wasn't in Brazil, but I get how powerful it must have been to be there, and for the people as well as for the support. You know, for Benita, who was there, and the rabbis. And Benita, I would just encourage you and Kulanu, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that you're going to be doing some kind of a video presentation about this. The other thing we need, and you're probably already on to this, if I know anything about you, I get a sense of who you are. We need desperately the normative Jewish community to be taught and understand more and more about this emerging community of people coming back from that history. So many people know about the Spanish Inquisition, generally, you know, speaking. But I don't think very many Jews know about what's going on with their descendants. And we just need the regular normative, whatever we want to call, people who have been Jewish from birth, to understand and be ready to be willing to accept these people and encourage them and welcome them, because a lot of our B'nai Anusim people in coming back have experienced not such welcoming, and not, as I'm sure you know, and not such positive words, and instead questioning and, well, how do we know you're really this, that, or the other? I don't want to get into all the things that have been said to our people, but it hasn't been very nice. So we really need a lot of education for the Jewish world. Are you working on that?
Yes. I mean, my dream is for mainstream Jewish organizations. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we hear you.
Yes, I hear you great.
I hear you.
My dream is for mainstream organizations to take over this work. I mean, this so much work all around the world, and so far it's only small groups that are doing it, and this is the new trend in Jewish life. And to quote my husband, Rabbi Sussman, if you take a ship and you change it 1 degree, it goes in a different direction. If we work with emerging, returning, and isolated Jewish communities around the world, then we will change the direction of Jewish history. I mean, in a very, you know, down the road, these communities want to give to be part of Jewish history. They yearn to contribute and be participants in it. And until the mainstream world opens up their eyes and gets it, it's a struggle. It's an uphill struggle.
Benita, I
right.
have a question.
It is a struggle. I know you're seeing it.
Benita, I went to the website of Kulanu, and also I apologize. I think I pronounced it Koleno at the beginning because I didn't get it. I was rushing to get the program on. There is a magazine that I see. It's been printed from 1994 to the current year. I was wondering, and I'm hoping you're the person I can get the permission from, is that when I do future programs with Yaffa Batya, that we can read snippets from the articles talking about, in particular, the B'nai Anusim, because I think that would, first of all, I would openly credit the magazine, and also would bring issues that perhaps Yaffa Bhatia and I have not discussed and hopefully will discuss in the future.
Oh, we would love it. We'd be honored to have you read it from it. Oh, absolutely. It's for everybody. It's for everybody.
Beautiful.
In the magazines. If you want to even help email it out, we'd be really grateful. I recommend that you, there are ways to get involved with Kulana where you get our updates and posts. You can join the Kulana listserv. But you know what? The easiest way is to email me, bonisuss@aol.com. It's bonisuss@aol.com. And I could tell you how to get links to our information and you get the updates. It's not only about Anusim, but it's about all the work we do around the world.
Okay. Can you just let me, I'm going to go right to my email. Just say it one more time because I am not a New Yorker. I'm actually from Connecticut. And it was a little quick for me. So
okay.
I just want to mention one more thing. The reason why I'm involved in the Dan, you know, you're an Ashkenazic Jew, you're a Lubavitcher, why are you getting involved? Well, my personal interest is that my wife's family, from her father's side, are descendants of the Jews from Toledo who escaped at the time of Giros Svard. So, I mean, I've met, unfortunately, her... My father-in-law's father passed on, but I met him and other relatives, descendants of the Jews from Toledo, and it's a fine group of Yidden. And I see that if this is what escaped, how much more so would it be so wonderful for all those who can return, should return with the, in the proper way according to the halacha, and it would be a tremendous boost in energizing revitalization of the nation of Israel. So that's just to give my spin why I'm As I like to say, assisting on this molecular level just to serve as a springboard for this discussion to transpire. And I just want to mention as well that in looking on the board where there's a tracking of our listeners, we have every country in South America with the exception of two, and we have the Central America countries, and all of and Mexico is listening in too. So we have an audience that wants to learn more about this.
Right, exactly. And Don, just again to reiterate, we have a large audience in the United States as well, and Canada.
That's right.
Because when the Jews left Spain and they got on a boat and they went to the countries of North Africa, as you know, and they went to Italy by boat, and they went all the way to what is modern-day Turkey by boat, and then some of them went north from Portugal. They went north and ended up in Amsterdam, which was Dutch. So in any country where the Catholics were not in control, they got off the boat, and they still had their Jewish identity intact, and they did escape, and they went to other countries. But the people in Spain who didn't, for whatever reason, get on a boat, they had only two choices. They could go west over the mountains between Portugal and Spain and join the Portuguese Jews who were already there, who were then forcibly converted en masse 5 years after 1492, which was 1497, or they could cross the Pyrenees Mountains over the border into France. And we have people today who are French-speaking. So their ancestors were in France for a while, then they went to Canada, and then they went other places. And just as an example, I'm working with a couple right now. The man is from the B'nai Anusim. His ancestors had that migration. They went from Spain to France. They went from France to Canada. Then they went to Louisiana, French, obviously Louisiana. I don't know if it was Baton Rouge or the other one, the major city there. That's his ancestral migratory path, and he's definitely from the B'nai Anusim. And his grandmother used to teach him as a little boy Torah, his grandparents, but obviously his mother's mother, and told him that they were Jews. And a lot of this, the B'nai Anusim had these stories about grandparents, great-grandparents that they remember as children growing up, and what their customs and traditions were. And, of course, along with the, you know, don't say anything, don't tell anybody, and the whole fear of outsiders and don't let anybody into the house, you know, that you don't know, because that's what happened during the Inquisition time, is neighbors or friends, so-called friends, might come into the home and see something, and then they would report on these people, and they would get persecuted and tortured during the times of the Inquisition. So we have also Italian, as Bonita mentioned. Bonita, we also have a person in our group that works in Sicily for the Italian Bnei Anusim, along with, I know, the lady you mentioned to me earlier. So we have all of these four nationalities, Spanish, Portuguese, French, and Italian, who are descended from, who are today those nationalities, but who are descended ultimately from the Spanish and the Portuguese. It's amazing what's going on out there and how many people there are.
I'd like to give the Rav a chance one more time to ring in and any wisdom you'd like to share with our listening audience, listening around the world, as we're getting ready to sign over the next 5 minutes.
This
Rabbi Kunis?
Yes, I'm still here. Yes.
Can you speak up and give us any final comments?
Okay. It's a great mitzvah, probably one of the highest mitzvahs there are, in to save a Jewish soul. And here, all of us have an opportunity to help support Kulanu and other organizations in saving, literally, Ud Mutzal Me'esh, an ember from the fire, as the prophets would put it, and bring these lost Jews back into the world. I urge everyone to do everything that they can to see that this happens.
Amen.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Rob. Really, first off, it's been a pleasure to host both you and Bonita, and of course, Yafa Batya. I have no problem you bringing on future guests and me providing this Jewish white noise as I have. For some reason, my chat room didn't open up. We'll have to see what's going on with that. And I want to thank everyone coming on. Yafabati, would you like any further? And by the way, Bonita, I got your email and I sent your email address and I sent you out a request to hook me up to the links. Thank you. So, Yafabati, we have a couple minutes. You'd like to make some sort of one last statement and how people can connect to you.
Well, and to connect to Kulanu, which is www.kulanu, KULANU.org. For Ezra Lanasim, they can find us on the web, on the Facebook. All they have to do is type in Israeli Amuta, because I'm the only organization in Israel that has that as a part of my Facebook organization page. It's called Ezra La'anusim Israeli Amuta, or they can write to me directly, Yaffa, Yaffah, Batya, Batya, Dacosta, which means of the coast, by the way. And they can find me on Facebook and write to me on Facebook there. There's many other ways, but the bottom line is, if we're meant by Shemayim to connect, we will find a way to connect. And we are, all of us, interested in helping as many of the Bnei Anusim as we can. Thank God.
Amen.
He's got us getting more and more together and working more and more together. I love it. I just love it.
Thank you.
Can I add that Kulanu,
yes,
also
please,
has a Facebook?
Please.
Kulanu also has a Facebook page. KULANU, and that's a very easy way to reach us.
Thank you, Bonita.
Oh,
thank
great.
You very much, Rav Kunis. And again, Yafabati, thank you much. Blessed souls, this has been a vibrant program. I hope everyone's enjoyed it, and this will serve as a catalyst for people to learn more about this stunning movement, which I think is ultimately connected to the full blossoming of the nation of Israel. We are truly a rainbow coalition, with different branches, but all connect the same root, which is the Creator, Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King. And as we, and this is also, I think, also a fine preparation for us to guide our prayers, guide our directions to davening, praying for Ahava Chad, one love, Gorla Chad, one destiny, Kulan, all of us, but dark Shalom, in a pleasant, peaceful way. And as your international, cyberspace, local Torah activist, Don Zizigubin, I have to remind everyone, because I'm a good Nudnik, we've got to be good. Why do we have to be good? Because Hateva Tov Lehativ, the nature of the good, to do good, and the Creator, He's the source of our goodness, want to do good. And this is one of the goodness, good projects we can be involved in as activists in our communities, on cyberspace or in face to face. And we're going to sign off right now with a little Jewish Spanish music by David Satiel, or Satiel. And this is called La Serena. We'll play it for about a minute or so. And wishing everyone a wonderful week. And let's all go from strength to strength as we're getting ready to greet a new year in less than 40 days. Because we of Israel are waiting for the greatest moment possible. Universal redemption will be inclusive of all of our peoples and also be very, very welcomed by the nations of the world, who I think are tired of all the mishigas that's going on in the world. Take care, everyone.
Que a los marineros amas, ahí aposa la palomba, que a los marineros amas. Paloma, yo.